Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Man, Coach makes me laugh. I'm stating the obvious here. He's hard to tackle. So,
well, you don't have to joke around. Coach, you used a surface narrative when talking about Cordarrelle Patterson on Wednesday.
That's right. A good one. Hey, man, he will join us, as Mike mentioned, middle of the week, 5 o'clock on Wednesday. It is a Falcon Monday.
It's he's Dukes on today, by the way, with Arch. You'll hear him at 6.
Yes, 6 o'clock coaches show, which is normal. Normal show. Player segment today. Bo, tell us again, who's the player segment today again? Because we were talking about it earlier, and there were some different options being thrown around today as far as who you might hear. But it's going to be Chris Lindstrom, Mike, on that offensive line today. Okay. So that's good news because they did a good job yesterday. And again, Hennessy and Drew Dahlman, we'll hear more about how they were rotating in and out and how that all worked for the Falcons. But a win is a win, man. And right. To Mike's point, everybody's caught up in how we should have been more dominant. And if we were better, we would have done this, that, and the other. These games are never easy. But to go on the road, especially after being embarrassed the way we were the two previous weeks that we played, and to find a way to get it done, man, I thought this team responded really well. And I was proud of what I saw yesterday, Mike. I was. The offense ran the ball. It's something we just haven't done all season. Now, can they do it again? I don't know.
Exactly. So, hey, we know that, well, good news, bad news. Good news is we ran for 100 yards. Bad news, the Bucs are coming to town. Leonard Fournette gave him a little rah-rah speech, and it certainly worked, and they basically cut down the turnovers, which kind of like put the Colts ahead in the first half. But we know that game that we played down in Tampa was just so funky. You know, we were like getting run all over, and then we battled back only to have two pick sixes, one deflection. So it should be better at home. It's funny because you and I are both. Are you going to the SEC? Do you get your SEC tickets, by the way?
No. Right. Not going.
I'll be there Saturday, and I'll be there Sunday. Now, the difference will be about there'll be 50,000 less people on Sunday than there was on Saturday.
That's true.
But let's hope that, you know, look, it's still Tom Brady. It may or may not be your last chance to see Tom Brady in person, depending on, you know, I know he wants to play till 50, but, I mean, it should have a little bit of juice. It just, we got to convince people these games have juice, and that's what happens when you look as bad as we did the week before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And, you know, as the week goes on, I know the SEC championship is a big deal, and rightfully so, especially with Georgia having a chance to do something they haven't done in 30 years, and that's win a national championship. But I agree. The Falcons have given themselves a chance to be in the conversation. You go find a way to win on Sunday. Don't say they're not. Don't say that never. Right. We've seen crazy crap happen all year. You find a way to win on Sunday, and all of a sudden now – you're 6-6. Mike just told you. You look at the standings. We're one game behind, or one game basically out in the playoff standings behind the Vikings. Vikings don't look like they're going to run away with anything. You know, the 49ers, maybe they go on a win streak here, but they're right there at 6-5. Point is, guys, we could be in the mix with the last month of the season at stake.
Yeah, and I got to run the pre-discussion of Calvin Ridley. Disclaimer, again, we want him to get back there. We want him to get his head right, whatever he's got to do, and we want him to be healthy, yada, yada. But, man, we could freaking use this guy right now, man. When they're doubling Pitts and they're putting Pitts in a position where, you know, you saw the job Campbell did on him at times. I mean, we could use Ridley on a game like these ones you just mentioned where we could actually make the playoffs this year. And some guys, playoffs, schmayoffs. I don't believe in Matt Ryan or whoever. Look, would you rather like a sharp stick in the eyeball or would you like to go to the playoffs? I'll take the playoffs, okay? And again, no guarantee where you're going to go in the draft. It's not an elite quarterback draft class, save for one or two guys. So I would prefer to win as many games that I'm paying for as a fan. That's just me.
Yeah, I agree. I want to win as much as possible. Hey, more on the Falcons coming up. Falcon Report straight ahead at 5 o'clock. But as we do each and every day, let's talk dogs.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
It is brought to you by our friends at Brightbox.
Yeah, man. B-R-I-T-E, BrightboxElectrical.com. Home monitoring. Make sure no one's stealing your packages on the front door. More on that stuff coming up in Guy Talk. Go to our buddy's website, B-R-I-T-E, BrightboxElectrical.com, for everything electrical for your home.
All right, guys. A dominant performance by the dogs. When I said earlier, and I had, I guess, an upset Georgia Tech fan say, I don't even know how you could say it wasn't unwatchable. It was. The dogs were in control of this game from the start. And I was never concerned. I don't think any dog fan was concerned as you watch, whether you were neutral or not, going, hey, Georgia Tech's going to make an incredible comeback. The game just slowly continued to get away from them and away from them and away from them. And Mike Georgia made the plays that we expected them to make. Right. Here's where I'm at with this game. The dogs did what we expected them to do. They dominated. They finished the season on a high note. I am more interested, like most people now, in what's going to happen Saturday against Alabama. But, Mike, let's talk about Georgia Tech since we're in this realm. They make changes to their coaching staff. Jeff Collins now is doing things where coaches start to see, you know, you go, oh, they're making changes to the staff. Before long, you guys know, it ultimately is the head coach. Year four for me, I got to see some progress for Jeff Collins and the win column. I'm not talking about off the field and the enthusiasm and where this thing is going. I've got to see wins, Mike, next year.
Look, he either wins next year, guys, or he gets fired. I apologize. Again, this is why I hate talking Georgia Tech, because their fans are freaking insufferable, okay? I mean, no, we don't talk much about you. You don't win a lot of games. We want you to win. We talk more about you, okay? That's how it works. But Jeff Collins, here's how it works. If you don't know how football works, you fire your assistants, and then you're next, okay? You get new assistants in, and that's your last strike. And then if you don't go to a bowl game next year, you're fired. There it is, guys. Sorry, Tech fans. That's how the cookie crumbles. Now, if you didn't find that unwatchable to have 75% of your home stadium packed by Georgia fans, I don't know what is. So I don't know what to say. The attendance was down. We know about that before we even get to the Georgia game. But I'm with you. I get wore out by Georgia Tech fans because they grind you down, Carl, with 1,000 pedantic cuts about this or that. The team is not going anywhere. We like Jeff Collins. We like what he's doing with the energy and change. It's got to translate to the field. It isn't. And now you lost a guy. Now, again, this is a long time coming, but it's official today. Jahmyr Gibbs, Carl, the running back, is third in the country in all-purpose yards, entering the transfer portal.
Yeah, and Mike, he won't be the only one. I think there'll be some more changes with players. You're going to have that year in and year out. You've got to find the right coordinator. Defense has to get defense, guys. And I put it out there. You run and your defensive coordinator doesn't get fired? I don't care how much Andrew Tacker is recruiting. The recruiting is not paying off with Dubs. So that's where we're at right now with Georgia Tech. Things have got to get better. An embarrassing loss again to the Dogs. It needs to be better. And anybody that played at Georgia Tech, and we know a lot of guys that have, they expect better. So that's where that's at. Now let's talk about the Dogs, Mike, because Alabama is the next test. And Alabama got tested against Auburn 4 overtimes to win at Auburn on Saturday. And everybody was like, oh, I don't think Alabama's that good. Don't compare that game to the Georgia game against Auburn. Alabama just got smacked, and then they found a way to win.
Well, again, guys, it's a rivalry game. We know all about that. And, yes, you're right. People are going to look at the common opponent. We were at Georgia. Was it Jordan Hare? But this was the Iron Bowl. First time it's gone to overtime. Georgia's defense, they just got after it. I mean, it wasn't that complicated. Chase Young struggled. I just thought, Carl, that in the first half, Alabama, I was waiting for Saban to just throw a nutty. It was so un-Alabama-like. And Georgia can get probably some of the things that Auburn was able to do with 3 down linemen, 4 at times. The worry and the concern was if Georgia can't get pressure on the quarterback, that Alabama's big-time receivers are going to have some maybe have a good day against Georgia's corners, because Georgia hasn't played anybody like them. And you and I agreed earlier, Georgia hasn't played anybody as good as Alabama all season long. So some people are now starting to pick at Georgia. Well, their stats are a little bit slanted because they haven't played anybody. Well, they pass the eye test for me. They do for you, don't they? It's the best defense in the freaking country. But this is going to be the truest test.
I totally agree. Can we hear from Kirby talking about this group? And this group is different than the group in 18, than the group in 2012. Every group is different. And Kirby says what he loves about this group is that they've been singularly focused, Mike, on one goal. That's to beat everybody in front of them. They've done it. They're now an undefeated regular season. Can they win a conference championship? Kirby Smart?
I think they're hungry to play their best. You know, we're still getting better. What excites me is that, like, the strength of our team, is our team, you know, and like that is what excites me. It's not like the strength of our team is this or that. It's the leaders, it's the players on the team that are the strength of the team.
Brother, we had talked so much, I know I did, about, oh, wow, Arik Gilbert. You know, I really wanted to see him in action for Georgia. And then, of course, the injuries to the wide receiver core. Pickens, by the way, a five-yard screen. So he got one touch, Carl, against Georgia Tech. But Washington being hurt earlier in the year. The guy who's been unbelievable, who's up now for all the postseason awards at his position, is Brock Bowers. And to see Brock Bowers, as I told you earlier, running away from a secondary, that was unbelievable on Saturday.
Yeah, he's got some speed, man. He really does. Let's hear from Stetson Bennett. 12-0 is great, but what, Stetson?
First 12-0 season, first undefeated season since 1982. You know, it's a big accomplishment, but you know, now the real fun starts.
Yeah, buddy. Now, just a matter of you doing your job. Carl and I have stopped talking about JT Daniels. We believe that you'll be able to do this job against Alabama and whoever's going to be next, and then next. But Georgia did run the ball for 208 yards. Everybody got a piece of the action in that one. I like the fact that Zeus and James Cook, you know, let's not overwork him in this game, and that's exactly what Georgia fans wanted. You know, get in, get out, and everybody's okay.
It's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, guys, talking about the Dogs. And we got a bunch of guests all week long that are going to be joining us, expert opinions about this game leading into the SEC championship game. We've got you covered because it's the biggest game. And we've all kind of been waiting on this, Mike, since the last time Georgia lost to Alabama, right? It was next time.
Right.
Well,
oh, by the
next
way,
time is Saturday.
And by the way, I forgot to mention Kyrus Jackson, who did get banged up, speaking of injuries against Georgia Tech. But right, brother, this is what we've been talking. First, we talked about Clemson for 5 months. Then we talked about this game for 5 months. And now it's finally here.
All right, we're going to come back. We're going to talk about some of the coaching changes that happened over the weekend, what could happen. But we've got an update on Marcell Ozuna next. It is Dukes and Bell. Now, we do have our World Series champion, Atlanta Braves, that we are still celebrating, and we will continue to celebrate. There was nothing like it, and hopefully we can make another run at another chip this upcoming season. But what will this team look like? Part of that discussion, Mike, is Marcell Ozuna. Now, here's what we know about what is coming out about his circumstances. I don't know if you're listening to us right now and you're a Braves fan and you don't want Marcell Ozuna back on this team, or you do. The Braves made an investment. They're getting nothing for the investment right now, but there is a chance that he could return. So here's what we know, and I'm going to read the Braves statement as well about this that they have put out. But Marcell Ozuna is received a retroactive 20-game suspension from MLB. That means he's eligible to return immediately since his suspension includes 20 regular season games. He served while he was on administrative leave. That happened between September 10th and the conclusion of the 2021 season. So, Mike, I just want to say this. 20-game suspension. I know it sounds like a lot, guys, but I want to put it in context because there have been other guys who have been in similar situations with domestic violence who've either missed the entire season or a majority of it. Domingo Germán is a Yankees pitcher who basically hit his girlfriend in a restaurant. It was witnessed. There was a video. There was no debating it. He missed 81 games. So you're talking about 20 games. And, Mike, it says to me that just like we always talk about, there was more to this than we thought. And MLB obviously has done its investigation and says 20 games is what this, you know, suspension deserves. Now, again, that doesn't mean we condone the acts of whatever happened. We still haven't seen the video. At least I haven't.
Right.
But other instances, all right, Sam Dyson used to be an athletic player. He missed an entire season for domestic violence, 162 games. So there have been instances where you go, hey, baseball knows the punishment fits the crime. This is interesting. 20 games, Mike, and basically he's able to return immediately?
Yeah, I mean, as we said initially, and I was guilty as charged. It sounded like, wow, the cops got him dead to rights. They witnessed it, and then you found out what they witnessed wasn't what we thought they witnessed because the prosecution obviously arranged to, for the most part, settle with Marcell Ozuna. And, you know, as we know, it's a problematic situation with the woman he's involved with. He actually accused her of assaulting him prior. So, again, as you said, I wasn't there. I do know this. At some point, people will get a chance to look at the video. It always gets out, and then some Braves fans will make a decision, or the organization will make a decision. But right now, they're kind of playing it right down the line, saying that you know, they support the decision by MLB. I also know the Braves would like to get something for something and not something for nothing or nothing for something. In the case of Marcell Ozuna under contract, Carl, through 2024 with the option by the buyout in 25, I should say. So you've got a guy that you know, could come back, contribute to this team, which already has some decisions to make, as we talked with Dave O'Brien a few weeks ago about what are the, you know, the post-championship Braves going to look like with this roster. But it's a heck of a good position to be in for the Braves if Ozuna can return, and they're willing to accept him back in the clubhouse.
Well, you know what's crazy? It's Dukes and Bell. We thought going into the season with Acuna and Marcell Ozuna that we were a World Series team anyway. Right, coming off of the year previous, we thought, hey, they signed the right guys in the offseason. Everybody got taken care of. They added Charlie Morton. We thought they were a World Series team anyway. So it turned out to be, you know, all the circumstances that played out during the season and the moves that were made by Double A, which were right on. But if, in fact, the Braves are willing to say, hey, Marcell Ozuna is going to be a part of this team, and we don't know that. I can't speak to that right now. But, Mike, if that's the case, then it makes some of the decisions you are going to try to make a lot easier.
Right, right. I mean, it is something that you and I said, thinking how the Braves organization, Rez, has handled things, or, you know, things that are a little untoward. And they had a player a couple of years ago. They just moved on immediately when he was up in Washington where there was an assault in a hotel room. But it's been so long, I don't remember the player's name, but they have dealt with it. It's the optics of the situation. Has he paid his penance? There's people out there that, you know, don't, no matter what the circumstances are, no. I would like to see this guy get another opportunity with this organization.
I do, too. I think, again, I don't condone any of things that we're talking about. If, in fact, they happened the way allegedly they happened, I've not seen this tape. But MLB gives you a 20-game suspension and says, okay, it's retroactive. You're available to return immediately.
By the way, there's
something there. I'm sorry. There just is, Mike. Because if it was worse, Mike, he would have been suspended for a lot longer time.
I just think that there was a lot of talk up in Sandy Springs about what was, and apparently what wasn't is what's happening now. And by the way, it was Hector Oliveira was the player the Braves moved on almost immediately from after he was arrested for domestic violence. That was 5 years ago. Sorry, I had a brain fart. I had to look it up. But yeah, man, I'd like to see him back out there. You know what I also like to see, Carl?
What's that?
A Freddie Freeman freaking contract announced by the Braves in a press release. A lot of the big names are getting signed. A lot of pitchers are getting signed. Scherzer to the Mets. Betting on the come for an older guy to stay healthy. The reigning Cy Young Award winner, Robbie Ray. And again, this guy's just like 4 games over .500 for his career. But again, he's, you know, what the market will bear. He got a big deal. Remember Kevin Gausman? He helped us, and then he was not really good. He just bankrolled a nice season with the Giants with a contract in Toronto where Robbie Ray just left. So point I'm getting to is, even we've been told we're waiting for what's going to be the new CBA, what will be the details. But a lot of big names are getting signed right now, Carl, in MLB.
Yeah, you know, I tweeted out earlier that I think the Braves are patiently waiting. I'd love to see something done in the next 48 hours because once the CBA expires, then you really have no obligation to do anything because you can wait and see how everything's going to play out financially. But, you know, a lockout, by the way, doesn't mean a work stoppage. It just means that the owners are trying to get to a resolution faster by saying, hey, we're going to lock you guys out, so hopefully we can start working towards, you know, the next 4 months of getting some resolution here. And it maybe happens sooner than it does, or later than it does. But at the end of the day, there will be one. And I mean, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but this is where we're going because there's just too many crucial issues, especially on the player side, Mike. I mean, I'll give you guys an example. One of the issues that we've talked about, and it's happened with the Braves, right, is this service time thing. And teams have used this where, you know, oh, we're gonna bring a guy up. We'll wait to bring him up. And we saw it with, you know, Acuna and some other players. Right. And you know, players are like, wait a minute, you don't want to play veteran players, but you'd rather, you know, debate this whole service time thing. We got to find a way for guys to get to arbitration earlier so they can make money and not be stuck in a rut for 8 years. It's a valid point by the players' union.
No, and it's as much as I hate Major League Baseball for how they monkey around with labor and the union has way too much power compared to the other sports. You just nailed it. You just laid it out there. In the NFL, it's that fifth year, right? We always talk about you're slotted in the first round, and you have that fifth year option. Everybody else, you're getting 4 year. You know, it's you're coming out, and that it's pretty much cut and dry. Baseball, you're right. You've got these guys in servitude for almost a decade, which isn't right either. You know, I think, you know, Ronald Acuna did get paid. Obviously, we talked about him and Ozzie. They probably should have held out for more. But based on where you could go, seemed like a good deal. I guess what Dansby will be a guy who gets a big bump through arbitration this year, but the Braves will not offer him a big contract. You don't think, do you?
Well, again, it depends on what this new deal looks like. I mean, honestly, that's where this is going. So I say all that to say, yeah, I'm with you with the Freddie deal. Oh. It'd be nice to have that announcement, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Hey, just real quick, I know we're talking about the Braves here because, again, if you're just tuning in, it looks like Braves will certainly have an option to bring Marcell Ozuna back if they're inclined. You see what Georgia Tech just did?
No.
Todd Stansberry, it's a letter to Yellow Jackets fans. Kelly Quinlan, who covers them, just posted it. But basically, it's kind of addressing what you and I were just covering earlier, talking about Georgia Tech. He says, in the big picture, Coach Collins and our expanded recruiting staff have worked hard to reshape the roster. He says he wants to read it. It's a long statement. So I'm just kind of giving you the finer points. Season was frustrating, disappointing, didn't meet the standards of Georgia Tech. Coach Collins and I are working together to address why we fell short of our standards and what needs to be done to ensure the standards are met going forward. And that began with the staff changes that we already talked about. But anyway, it's up there. If you're a Georgia Tech fan, you may have already seen it from Todd Stansberry, the athletic director.
Yeah. This is going on a lot of places, Mike. Chris Del Conte, the AD at Texas, did the same thing after they lost to Kansas. And he had to put out a statement and say, look, you know, first of all, there's a lot of turnover going on. Secondly, we just changed coaches, and he's in his first year. Now, that's not the case for Collins, but people are impatient, you know, and this is where we're at, well, as sports fans. Yeah. And so I get it. Every circumstance is different, but I'm glad Todd Stansberry put that out there. Yellow Jacket fans deserve that. They deserve to know what's going on.
Well, there's a rebuild, and then there's being humiliated, okay? I mean, you could rebuild, and there's games, okay, you don't expect to beat Clemson. That was a great game, and Clemson obviously eventually got stronger in the second half. But then there's games that you got to win. You can't lose to Northern Illinois. You can't do that. That's one that's got to be a W. So, to me, to get humiliated on national television and then to have your arch rival come in, dominate your own stadium, it just people are up to here with it. Friends of mine that are Tech alum. So, it's something that has to – I mean, he has to – as a benchmark, whether it's six or seven games, there's got to be a lot of improvement or he's going to be gone. And it's – I got to be honest with you. This goes back to the great old argument. You and I would say, look, if you're not trying to win a championship, then why are you even bothering, right, in any sport? Would you agree with that? But then there's Georgia Tech fans that say, yeah, you know what? As aggravating as Paul Johnson's offense was to watch at times because it's not what, you know, we want to see is what we think is big-time football – when you know you're going to have a cycle of recruits put you into a big bowl game every 4 or 5 years, that's better than this. And I don't accept either option, but I can understand why it's all relative, Carl. At least you know you're going to have a chance to do something in the postseason.
Yeah, I'll say this, and I don't know how many games it is, but I'd have to go look. I want to say it's five, maybe six games. They lost by one score, right? Does it make it better? No. An L's an L. But what coach will tell you and what Jeff Collins will say is, look, I know you're not seeing the progress on the field. I heard him say this, but we're close. You know, we're one score in five or six of these games from being the winner. And we're not that far off. That's what he's going to say. I don't believe that, Mike. I think you've got to show me, like I always say, I want to see. Let me see you win these games that you're close in. Football's games are always close when you're playing in your division, in your conference. That's just the way it is. You got to find a way to win those games, and that's what elevates the top tier teams. All right, man, go check out that statement from Georgia Tech. We've been talking about that all day. Dogs and Alabama as well. Mike, what do we got coming up in Guy Talk?
All right, buddy boy. It's a sore subject around this house, but we love food here. We talked about it. Thanksgiving dinner was not great.
Oh.
Not great, but I do know where to point the finger on that one. How's that for a tease?
Okay.
It's a guy talk that could end my marriage next on Dukes and Bell.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, back to work on a Monday. Hope everybody had an awesome Thanksgiving holiday. Now we're truly into the holiday season, whether it's Hanukkah and then before you know it, Christmas. So hope everybody's having a great time out there. I cannot lie to you, Carl, because you are my best friend in the radio business and my buddy.
So what happened?
Turkey was okay, but dinner was bad. It was bad. It was not good.
So what happened? I mean, what was bad? What went down?
Let me preface this by saying that, first off, my wife is a fantastic cook. You guys see the photos I post on Twitter. She's amazing. You know, she's a grill master. She's learned from Squidbilly how to do everything from, you know, doing pork butts and, you know turkey and everything. She's great at everything she cooks. She's one of the best of all the people that I've ever been in my life. She's the best cook, even better than my Nana. But this Thanksgiving, I blame my mother-in-law. She was in her ear. She was distracting. And by the way, I keep my mother-in-law on a continuous Pinot Noir IV drip. You know, because she just starts talking. And I know I talk too much. I talk for a living on the radio. My mother-in-law, she's like, pop, 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 pop. She won't stop. And so my father-in-law is like, oh, you gave her wine. I'm just trying to get her to fall asleep, you know. But she just kept talking. So Mama Fran, I don't know what happened, but the gravy, and I love gravy. Gravy is like my favorite condiment. There's just such a thing. I love gravy. We go to a diner, I want French fries and gravy. I just love biscuits and gravy. The gravy was like water. It looked like iced tea.
Oh, okay. Yeah, gotcha.
It was just pour. It was like, it was just, yeah, it was clear.
No, it was no substance, no thickness to it. Yeah.
No, and
yeah.
I'm whispering. Why am I whispering? I'm on a 100,000-watt radio station.
I understand. Yeah, this is a sensitive situation.
But my wife is, but I literally, and you know, and then my mother-in-law, she's mashed potatoes. Hey, you screw that up. And she's like eating rocks. So, anyway, so I blame my mother-in-law because she distracted Becky. She distracted Becky from normal. Because my wife, she follows everything to the letter instructions. Somehow I blame the mother-in-law on this one. It is what it is. But anyway, we played golf on Friday, and then my father-in-law, they went home. So I'm sorry, Chris, I had them in town Friday. I missed your shindig. My father-in-law insisted, Carl, on taking the last flight out on Friday. Why? Because hunting season begins Saturday morning in Pennsylvania. So. Mm. But anyway, there you go. How was your Thanksgiving dinner, by the way? How'd it go?
It was great, man. I mean, honestly, it came out really good. We did a couple of different dishes that we normally don't try or haven't done in a while, so we wanted to do a couple of different things. So we did those. They came out great. I did my fried turkey as I normally do, man. Mm. And it came out terrific. I brined it for literally like 2 days. Oh. And it was so tender and then crispy, and the turkey sandwiches, I just couldn't get enough, man. I had one. Well, obviously we ate Thursday. I was just a fat rat on the couch. But Friday I had two. And then Saturday I was just sitting there all day, just bring me another turkey sandwich. It was unbelievable. So I can't complain, man. It was really good food. Really good
stuff.
So again,
I just want to, if I'm honest, which I try to be on this program, I love the gravy. I love piling gravy on everything, gravy on the stuffing.
So here's my question. Cause it is interesting that you bring this up. How do you handle that in the moment? Because, I mean, do you just, excuse me, and you go to the bathroom and like,
I just shut up. And you know, when something's wrong, I don't say anything. That's when you know things have gone off the rails, when I'm just sitting there like, how is it? It's good. No, it's good. It's good. My mother-in-law, how are the potatoes? No, they're good. It's good. Everything's good. It's very good. Father-in-law's looking at me. Father-in-law's looking at me like, Jesus. And so we're outside, I'm smoking a cigar. He's smoking a heater. He's like, that gravy, that was terrible. So that was Thanksgiving in my house. All right, real quick. Holidays do get people stressed out, and it does bring out the worst in some cases, whether it's a TSA line where somebody's just wigging out over something they forgot to pack, or they're yelling at a husband, yelling at a wife. Well, anyway, a fight breaks out at T-Mobile Arena during a Vegas Golden Knights Oilers game on Saturday. You may have already seen the video. A woman standing by her man gets into it, and she's wearing a Marc-Andre Fleury jersey, one of my favorite goaltenders. She's in this, and she's yelling at somebody, and they're fighting, and she's trying to swing, and I guess she can't reach at her target. So all of a sudden, she reaches down and pops off her prosthetic leg and starts to swing it on the other fan.
Oh, she pulled off her fake leg and started using it as a weapon.
Whatever her situation was, she apparently lost the use of her leg below the left knee, but all of a sudden, she starts wailing on that. The woman's arms were covered in the video by a fan standing next to her, so it's tough to tell if she actually made contact with a prosthetic leg, which I would imagine has some heavy-duty plastic and metal in it, so if she did connect, it would not be too good for the other guy. It's the latest fight that's circulated on social media. You may have seen the Cowboys fans involved in a major altercation with a concession worker during Thanksgiving. Titans supporter dragged down SoFi Stadium steps during Sunday Night Football in a fight over the Rams. It's all part of what you may or may not have seen. You're not going to see it live on TV, obviously, but you'll find it on YouTube. Hey, man, watch out if you're getting deliveries, and as we lean on all those services. Cyber Monday today, by the way, billions of dollars exchanging hands as people are by getting their stuff in. But guess what? 210 million packages will be stolen from front porches and people's doorways over the past 12 months. This is according to, I guess, whoever the people are that count this stuff up and do criminal research. It's an article from the New York Post. But yeah, man, a recent survey found that a staggering 210 million packages have been, SafeWise is the website, found a mind-boggling 64.1% of Americans have been victims of package theft. Have you ever had something disappear from your front door?
Yeah, I know we had this happen, you know, in our area, our neighborhood. I know some people had put some feelers out about, you know, hey, does anybody have my box? Because sometimes it happens, right? You have similar street addresses or, you know, the numbers, they get them mixed up and they'll drop a package off and you know, you go take it whoever it needs to be taken to. But we saw a couple of these and Michelle was like, they're getting packages, you know? And so I'm like Randy Mack on this. I wish you would try to take my package because you're gonna end up where you don't want to be. So, right. But no, man, it's awful. Seriously. But listen, Mike, they're doing all these smash and grabs. There's all kind of craziness going on right now with the holiday stuff.
And by the way, the expert from SafeWise says, I know this might sound rudimentary, but if you're like me and you forget where, you know, you got a million emails coming in, you've ordered stuff from Amazon or other websites, make sure you write down on a piece of paper somewhere all the stuff you got expected. So then you can go back, okay, where's this? Where's that? Because sometimes you just completely forget that it didn't make it to you. So,
yeah.
By the way, in case you're wondering, we are clean as far as cities that get pilfered as far as packages. Number one is Denver. I thought Denver's a wonderful place to live. They came in first. San Fran, they just surpassed them. They had a 3-year run at the top of robbery rankings from your own home. City by city, in Salt Lake was, wow, I thought people are nice in Salt Lake City. They came in third. Seattle, Washington in fourth. San Antonio, Portland, or Green Vegas. Oh, the people in Greenville, they're too nice to be doing that in South Carolina. Raleigh, and then, well, Hartford's a dump. That makes sense. But anyway, those are the cities that have the most people pilfering packages off your front door.
Wow, that's great. Raleigh, too? Raleigh's a nice little area.
That's just crazy talk. Hey, man, real quick, some breaking sports news. This happened right before we got off last commercial break. We're waiting to see when Freddie is going to get paid. And as you said, he and his representation are probably waiting for the market to settle and see where things go. But for what it's worth, you see Corey Seager just signed a huge deal with the Rangers.
Yeah, everybody's – listen, teams are getting the guys that they want. They're trying to get this in before all this stuff happens. I'm glad that – I'm happy for Corey Seager, man. That's a big deal.
So the Rangers have dropped $500 million so far in the offseason. Hey, man, have you ever sat courtside and you've been – maybe had your view obstructed? I always rail – Carl laughs at this. I always joke around about who are these idiots who stand three deep behind the bench at Falcons games, you know, in those club areas, because how the hell can you see anything? 27-year-old singer – who I'm not familiar with. Who is Halsey, Chris? Chris, you are my conduit to pop music. Who is it Halsey?
Halsey, yeah, she's good.
Yeah,
man.
She broke out with that song with the Chainsmokers, Closer, and then she's been a top 10 Billboard artist.
I'm sure. I'm not a 14-year-old girl. I don't know these things. But anyway, Frank Vogel blocked Halsey's view at a Laker game, Carl. She was not happy. She tweeted multiple photos of basically the back of Frank Vogel as he's standing there on the baseline or the sideline. And she's apparently a huge Laker super, very pretty girl, by the way. But she's joked around that she should quit singing and link it with ESPN via NBA, because maybe that way she'll get to watch the game. That would irk you if the coach is right in front of you the whole game.
Yeah, but look, you got those seats. I mean, what are you expecting? You know? I mean, if you're sitting right there with the Lakers, I mean, that's just what you're going to get. Yeah. But
remember the episode of Love, the Curb Your Enthusiasm with Larry David, Trip Shaq?
Oh, yeah.
He was in front row. Anyway, so you can check out the story on that. There's some photos she posted that are pretty funny. Hey, man, real quick, let's hit the closing bell. We have a short work week last week and see if we did anything with the stock market because, you know, got to save up for the holidays, brother. And the president says there's no need for COVID Omicron lockdowns. That was news Wall Street wanted to hear. So Dow Jones up 236, S&P up 60, NASDAQ up nearly 300 points. So green, green, green for your 401k. Just a couple of birthdays. Carl said one. Chadwick Boseman would have been 45 today.
Yeah, man. I saw a lot of tributes today to Chadwick Boseman. It seems like yesterday that we were just talking about this, and a year has already passed by since he passed away, man.
Hey, man, Vince Scully is still kicking. He is 94 and, again, stepped out of the booth, but still is on social media as he took into Twitter and all that. Russell Wilson turns 33 today. Will Russell Wilson ever get back to the Super Bowl, Carl?
Not with the Seahawks.
That's what I was going to say. Don Cheadle is 57 today.
Super, one of the best actors out there, man.
Hey, man, Kathy Moriarty. Oh, she's so sexy. 61, Raging Bull, a lot of other movies. Jerry the King Lawler. That's for Chuckery. He's 72 today. Pedro Martinez, 53. Chuck Mangione is 81. For people of a certain age, that song was everywhere. You couldn't avoid it. Gary Shanley would be 72 today. I used to love the Larry Sanders Show. Hey, man, there's your guy talk on a Monday.
Chuck Mangione. Hey, this is Halsey, right? This is Halsey? Yeah, man. I mean, she's hot. She's got a lot of hits out there, bro.
You know it.
You have no idea what I'm talking about. Falcon Report's on the way.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.